Welcome to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Pamela and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Harshman Travel Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. You might have a chance of working with them in their business ventures and your travel plan. So listen in and enjoy the journey. Now on to our Building Fortunes Radio Show with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Let's get started, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You are listening to us live on a Friday night. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Every Friday at this time, we do a radio show with Pam and Ron Harshman. We call it Harshman Travel Radio Show. If you go to harshmantravel.com, you'll be able to see the cool things that Pam's been working on her website. But most importantly, if you have any travel needs, you want to make sure you check out Harshman Travel. It doesn't cost you any extra money. You'll get their superior knowledge and their great service. And then they'll be able to walk you through some of the questions that you're not even thinking about asking, and they'll be there for you when you need them, if you need them in the middle of your travel plans. So that's super-duper important. In a world of, I got to share with you, in a world of expected incompetence, I mean, when you're calling a regular company, you should just expect incompetence, expected people that are doing their job to not really understand the job that they might be doing, expect just nothing to be followed up on and nothing to be followed through, and most of the information you get is probably wrong. Don't expect that when you're dealing with Harshman Travel. One of the reasons why I recommend them so highly is they're on top of their game. They're studying what's going on in the industry. They're going to remember your name and everything about you when you call back, and that's what you want from a travel agent. So it doesn't cost you any money for their superior service. So having said that, we do this every Friday night at 8:30. I want you to be able to share their level of my level of enthusiasm about them. So they're going to share with you a little bit about their backgrounds during the first half of this radio show. In the second half, after the commercial break, Ron comes back and he gives us the really good news of what's happening in the expanding travel industry, focusing a lot on cruises. Cruises are like where it's at. I mean, it's probably the single best thing you can possibly ever do, one of the best values for an exceptional vacation. So whether it's going to be just for a couple of days or a longer period of time or around the world, you'll be able to do any or all of that stuff over at harshmantravel.com. So let's go through those introductions first. Pam, thanks for being here on your very own radio show.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having us again.
You're welcome.
Yeah, a little bit about, and I have to agree with you on the cruises. For me, I think that's the best value for anybody's travel dollar, and also fun. Anyway, a little bit about my background. I started my working years as a 911 dispatcher up in the Pacific Northwest, and I did that for several years, and slowly but sure worked myself up into court administration, which I absolutely loved my job. However, I met my husband who lived across the country, kitty corner, down in Florida. So that was kind of a hard, long-distance relationship there. But I ended up moving down to Florida. And once down here, I didn't want to start down at the bottom of the ladder or anything. So I was looking for something that I could do primarily from home and independently. Ended up getting my realtor's license, followed by my broker's license, and I sold real estate in South Florida for several years, and then just came to terms that that wasn't my niche, and so I went back and got my life and health insurance license, and I sold Medicare supplements to the senior population. Love that job. That was so much fun going and visiting with the seniors. I never knew what my day was going to be like. It could be anywhere from supposedly meeting with one senior and having a whole room full of them down to having a whole ladies' tea party practically. So it was fun, and I really enjoyed it, and I got a lot of satisfaction out of it knowing that I was helping them probably make the most important decision that a senior has to make once they turn 65, and that's what they're going to do with their health care, because that's got to take them through to the end of their lives. So it was a very rewarding job for me, But at the same time, I was getting those carrots dangling in front of me on my Facebook news feed about MLMs and home-based businesses, and that is where we met. I was a customer of yours. I did try several. I had some winners and had a couple losers in there, but I learned an awful lot, and that was priceless. But anyway, one day when I was out on my travels, I got a phone call from a girlfriend of mine, and out of the blue, she asked if I had ever thought about becoming a travel agent. And it just blew me away, because it wasn't a week prior to that that Ron and I had been talking about, we were empty nester baby boomers, and we had some disposable income, and basically we made our own schedules. So we were kind of comparing each other's bucket lists and deciding where we wanted to go first and, you know, just kicking stuff back and forth. So I could not wait to get home and talk to him about it. And once I did, we did some research on the internet, decided to move forward, and then got all the education we could get our hands on and all the proper licensures, and from there, we got the website all done up, and we have actually done a whole lot more traveling than we probably would have been able to do otherwise. But at the same time, we've helped an awful lot of folks stretch their travel dollars, so it's been a win-win for us all the way around. And we love what we're doing, other than when COVID hit and kind of blew the bottom out of everything. But it's nice to say that the cruise industry is coming back, and coming back stronger than it was before, and we've got trips planned, and anybody can check them out at harshmantravel.com and click on the button that says upcoming trips, and we would love to have anybody join us or book something separate.
Excellent. Okay, good. And then, Ron, over to you.
Alrighty. Good to be here, Peter. Thanks for invite again. My background is very different from him. Spent many years as a licensed clinical psychologist, very heavily involved, obviously, in my own clinical practice, but also chose to become very involved with the self-regulatory aspect of the profession. When I first started out, a very good friend of mine, a mentor, suggested that it would be a good idea for me to get involved with the provincial association, and she felt that I had a lot to contribute, and felt that it would also be very rewarding for me to see all of the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on. It's a fact that every profession is pretty much the same. Most professionals get their licensers or their diplomas, whatever, sign up for their professional association, pay their member dues, and that's all they know about the professional association. And behind the scenes with the self-regulatory professions, there is so much going on, sitting on ethics boards, professional affairs committees, government liaison committees, etc. And it really opened my eyes to see all the stuff that normally people just are not aware of, professionals are not aware of. I was very involved in that. I started out with the Provincial Association, got heavily involved there on the board of directors, but also started to get involved in the National Association, the Canadian Psychological Association, and was very rewarded to be elected as chair of the applied division of that organization. As a result, sat on their board of directors, sat on several ethics boards, professional affairs committees, etc., and represented the Canadian Association with the sister association here in the States, the American Psychological Association. So I really learned a lot, saw a lot of stuff that I would not have been privy to. It was very rewarding, and really felt good also to be able to give back to the profession. I ended up my career being elected as a lifetime honorary fellow of the Canadian Psychological Association. So that was a big thing for me, a very appreciative thing on my part that my efforts and involvements were appreciated and respected. In any event, in terms of my own clinical training, I was very fortunate as an undergraduate and graduate training to be involved with a number of professors who made it very clear that if we were thinking of going into private practice at any time, it would be very important to get as much varied clinical experience as we could, working with different clinical populations, because they made the very valid point that when you go into private practice, you really don't control who calls you for an appointment, why they're coming to see you, what their life situation is, what their struggles are, what they need help with. And if you're not familiar with the challenges that they are facing, you certainly can end up doing a lot more damage than good. And I took that advice very much to heart and made the commitment, starting as an undergrad, to work for as many of the social service delivery systems as I could and gain as much varied clinical experience as I was able to. And it really did pay off. I was very glad that I had been given that advice, and even happier that I had followed that advice. In any event, after being in practice for a while, started specializing, working with young couples, doing a lot of premarital counseling, a lot of sexual counseling, a lot of marriage counseling, and being involved with that population also meant finding myself in family courts very often, because a number of clients were going through divorce and fighting over the custody of their kids. And I was being called as an expert witness to give testimony and advice to the court in terms of what would be best for the children. It was interesting because up until the time I got involved in that whole arena, there was pretty much a pre-drawn conclusion in the court system that if you had a young family going through divorce and there were young kids involved, almost always custody would be granted to mommy, visitation would be granted to daddy. And although that worked out in many cases, we were starting to see more and more cases, many too many cases, where not only was it not a good outcome, but it was a very bad and destructive one. And the court system eventually decided to change and made the decision that going forward, any decisions in the Supreme Court in Canada, where I was working at the time, regarding custody and access of children in disputed custody cases had to be based on the psychological best interest of the children involved. And as a result of that decision and that procedural change, I ended up working with a number of other professionals at developing a standardized procedure for doing child custody investigations and being able to clinically determine what would be in the best interest of the kids psychologically, and also be prepared to go into court and give that advice. I ended up, as a result of that, doing a lot of guest lecturing at the Faculty of Law, talking to law students about the use of expert witnesses, how to prepare them, how to examine, how to cross-examine, etc., and also doing a lot of training at both social work conventions and psychology conventions, talking to other professionals who were wanting to get involved in that whole arena. In any event, after Pam and I got together, we'd been together for a relatively short period of time, when we decided to semi-retire, we moved from Southeast Florida over to Southwest Florida, started raising alpacas. As Pam indicated, she got involved in home-based business, multi-level marketing. And although I did not get involved in that with her, I was certainly fully supportive of her doing it. But when she came home and said she really wanted us to talk about the possibility of becoming professional travel consultants, that was something that really hit both of us as the right thing to do. And we decided that if we were going to do it, we would do it the right way, get all the proper training and licensures, etc. And we would also spend the time and the effort and the energy to find those travel vendors with whom we could work and feel comfortable in terms of recommending them, supporting them, working with them. And it has been a very meaningful venture for us. As Pam indicated, we've done a lot more travel than we ever would have been able to had we not become professional consultants. And we have also been able to help a good number of people make the most out of their travel time and money. So it's been a good experience all the way around. COVID, of course, put a big kink in the line, almost destroyed, or there was certainly, in my opinion, a out-and-out attempt to destroy the cruise industry. And we were fortunate enough to look objectively and talk about the fact that, from our perspective, it really looked as if the cruise industry would survive. And it's good to note that everything has proven to be correct in our prognostications. The cruise industry is back, bigger and better than ever before, and it's very clear that it will continue to grow and become more and more of a regular for people's travel decisions. In any event, this week is very much similar to previous ones. We've had a lot of interesting announcements come out, and again, underlining the fact that the cruise industry is back, bigger, stronger than ever before.
Excellent. So we're going to take a little commercial break, and we'll be right back. Right after that, Ron's going to give us more of this good news.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. This special segment can be heard again with almost any device connected to the Internet by going to buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Listen in often and get to know Pam and Ron. Go to the buildingfortunesradio.com website to listen in to the show. No matter where you're at in life, you can benefit by listening to and by working with Pam and Ron. Let them book your next cruise, vacation getaway, or group event. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio and witness their ability to pursue their dreams in the field they love. Thanks for listening. And now, back to the Harshman Travel Radio Show.
And we are back. Peter Mingles here with Pam and Ron Harshman. And Ron's going to give us the good news in the travel industry. Go ahead, Ron.
All righty, Peter. Interesting to note the things that have been coming out this week. We've talked about the fact that Port Everglades, Fort Lauderdale, is now the number two port in the U.S. and really working hard to catch up with Port Miami. In any event, an interesting report came out from them this week where they have completed a study where they interviewed over 7,000 travelers and said that they really wanted to get to know their clients and what they expect when they come into a port, et cetera, et cetera. And they said they were concerned about the timing because the 22-23 season was still a recovery period for the cruise industry. But their findings were very interesting. They said they now anticipate 3 million passengers sailing in and out of the port compared to the 1.9 million passengers that they budgeted for this fiscal year, which ends September 30, and an excess of 3.6 million in the coming 2023-2024 season. So they end their report saying, we can confidently say, quote, cruising is back and your opinion matters. Some of the interesting findings: 94% of the participants in their study listed ease of sailing from Port Everglades as excellent or good. the majority of their domestic cruise guests reside in the U.S. Southeast. Canadians made up 57% of the port's international guests. 56% of those surveyed have cruised from Port Everglades in the past, and 42% listed the destination, namely the Caribbean, as their main consideration when booking a cruise. 28% chose their cruise on the basis of price. So anyhow, it was interesting to see the port going to the extent of doing that kind of research. And you can imagine the executive people of the, the organization who run the Port Everglades, when they were budgeting for 1.9 million passengers, and they now anticipate 3 million, that's got to be a good feeling. So we're pleased to see that. In the second quarter, The interesting announcement coming out from Royal Caribbean, they say that in the second quarter, the percentage of guests were either new or to their brand or new to the cruise industry surpassed the 2019 levels by a wide margin. So they have seen the post-cruise repeat booking rates nearly double the 2019 levels. So they were really very enthusiastic in their quarterly report of just how effective their marketing is and what that means for the Royal Caribbean group. So that was, again, a very strong indicator of how the cruise industry is very much alive and well and growing very much stronger than even we anticipated. And I'm pleased to say that we were inadequate in terms of our projections, that they're even better than we thought they would be. Holland America came out with a couple of interesting announcements this week. One of their ships set sail from Boston on a 35-night cruise to Northern Europe, Greenland, and Canada. And they were sailing round trip from their Massachusetts home port, and they will cruise to 18 destinations in 9 countries and islands before returning to the United States. And that was just one of their major sailings that is underway. Another major announcement from them is they've announced the addition to their legendary voyages, and this is a 42-day ultimate Mediterranean and Atlantic passage journey that is going to be departing November 9th, 2024. The interesting thing is that it was inspired by a journey that the cruise line operated nearly 100 years ago. The original voyage departed New York City on February 4th, 1925, aboard the Rotterdam IV, carrying 550 guests across the Atlantic Ocean. Sailing round trip from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, the new voyage includes visits to 16 ports across 9 countries, including visiting Portugal, Morocco, Italy, Greece, Israel, Egypt, Tunisia, Gibraltar, United Kingdom, and Spain.
Wow.
And they're saying that the Holland America is one of the first companies to feature cruise vacations that went beyond a transatlantic crossing. And today they're continuing to innovate their itineraries by offering memorable voyages like this ultimate Mediterranean and Atlantic passage sailing. So they are, again, continuing to increase their itineraries, increase their choices of voyages that one can take. And the days of just a weekend cruise or a 7 or 10 or 14 night cruise being the majority, I think are about to be surpassed, because we're seeing more and more of these longer sailings. And I don't think everybody is prepared. I mean, realistically, not everybody's prepared to go on a 30, 40, 50, 60, 80-night cruise. But just realizing that those are available for people, I think really sparks a lot of interest. And as we've mentioned before, we have seen the cruise industry recently really increase the number of new devotees, people who've never cruised before, and during the COVID years were following all of the news about cruises and the attempt to close down the industry and what the industry was doing to survive. And I think it has sparked a great deal of interest from a lot of people who are basically coming to see for themselves what cruising is all about. Royal Caribbean came out with another announcement. Starting in November of 2024, travelers in Singapore will be able to visit new destinations in Southeast Asia. And the new itinerary is an 8-night Bali getaway, taking guests to Seleucan, Bawang, Benoa and Bali and Lombok, where they can explore the beaches, visit the temples, and admire the waterfalls. They're going to have 3 to 5 night sailings. That will be on the regular thing, but they will also have 10-night Vietnam and Thailand voyages. So again, we are seeing worldwide just the expansion of itineraries that are available. And it just is very, very rewarding to see how strongly the industry is coming back. I reported a couple weeks ago about a potential strike that was looming in Alaska with the White Pass and Yukon Route Railway, and it's good to be able to announce that they have come up with a tentative agreement between the railroad and the union, and the agreement will run through 2027, and apparently both sides are pleased with it, and I'm sure that anybody traveling to Alaska this summer or fall will be very happy with the premature settling of that strike before it even took place. Three other things I want to quickly mention. Norwegian Cruise Line has once again come to the foreground. They've announced the 20 winners of their 4th annual Giving Joy contest that celebrates teachers across North America for their hard work and dedication. Each of the 20 winners won a free 7-day cruise for 2, valid for itineraries sailing through 2024, embarking either from the U.S. or Canada. And the 3 top grand prize winners were also invited to take part in the exclusive 4-day christening voyage for the cruise line's upcoming ship, the Norwegian Viva, which will come out in August of this year. So those teachers who have been selected to get these rewards, it's just nice to see this annual event being promoted by Norwegian, and I'm quite sure that people are getting a good feel for the give back that they are doing. They're saying since the inception of the program in 2019, Norwegian's Giving Joy contest has awarded over 250 educators with a free cruise and donated over $350,000 to local schools and teachers with support of its brand partners. So you've got Norwegian, you've got both of the other cruise lines participating in that. So that was a good thing that was just announced this week. Another interesting thing we've talked before, and I'll make this quick, we've talked before about the fact that the luxury cruise market seems to really be expanding. And this week we had announcements from Crystal Cruises, from who was the other ones? It was Crystal. Who else was it? MCL's MSC's Europa, and they have added 2,400 additional berths of strict luxury market cruising. So obviously that is a market that is being expanded, and these different cruise lines, Silver Sea, MSC, and Serenity, Crystal, have really gone all out to add to the ships that they can provide for that market. Last thing, it's interesting, TUI River Cruises is expanding its offerings. Again, just another expansion of itineraries. They are going to be having a Nile River cruise program set to begin in the winter of 2024. They will have charter flights from London Gatwick and Manchester airports to Luxor, Egypt, and they will also be operating nonstop flights from the UK to Luxor, and these boats are small boats, 145 passengers, but they will be going up and down the Nile River and really being able to explore ancient history in that area of the world. So again, we're just seeing more and more indication of the expansion. Certainly everything that's there that has been there is still just as good as it's always been. But for those people who are new to cruising or those people who are committed cruisers, there are plenty of new opportunities available, and it's very clear that the number of those potential opportunities is only going to increase. So it's been a good week.
Excellent, great news. So for those people that want to take advantage of this, make sure you go to harshmantravel.com, and there's contact information there, newsletter there as well. You'll be able to see some of the great work that Pam has done. But probably the most important thing is that here we are in the, we're at the end of July, and if you're planning on doing anything for the holiday vacations like the winter months, like Christmas, New Year's, or after, this is the time to probably book all that stuff, I would guess, Ron. There's probably some exceptional deals, and you can expand upon that if you want.
Yeah, very, very definitely, Peter. There's many, many real good money-saving offers that are out there right now from pretty well every one of the cruise lines, new itineraries, and really a wide, wide variety. Whether it's just a quick weekend cruise, whether it's a week-long cruise, whether it's a little bit longer 10-day, 14-day cruise, or whether it's something that you are really wanting to do for an extra special event coming up in your life, cruising is without doubt the best value for your travel dollar, and that I think is very much proven to be the case, and I don't know of anybody who would disagree with that. So again, if you have any specific questions, if you are just looking around and seeing what's available, be sure to go to our website, harshmantravel.com, give us a call, and we'll be happy to do the research and come up with some excellent proposals for you and different options that will, again, make your cruise vacation dreams come true. Have a good week, everyone. Been good.
Yep, we'll see you next time. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Peter. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear previous radio shows with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.